From the Seven Feathers Casino Studio, sunny and hot today with a high of 98. The overnight low 62 under clear skies, sunny again tomorrow with a high near 90. Tomorrow night, the low of 60 and partly cloudy and sunny and 83 on Wednesday. It is 80 degrees. KQEN News Time, 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Today, a little change of pace. We're going to cover a number of different health-related topics. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, we've got several things to check on. Last week, of course, Oregon Health Authority putting out information on a monkeypox outbreak. There is a multi-letter formula that really is more accurate. But explain, first of all, because I think a lot of people really don't know yet what monkeypox is.
Well, monkeypox is a viral illness that's been around for a long time, so it's nothing new. We all know about two other kinds of pox diseases, chicken pox and then smallpox. And this is probably more serious than chicken pox, but less serious than smallpox. This has been around for many years, first discovered in the 50s. It's a disease that lives in rodents and then occasionally spreads to people.
So why is it that that for most people, everyone thinks it's brand new?
Because we don't hear about it very much. So it's mostly been in Africa. So that both Eastern and Western Africa had recent outbreaks of this. And we think this one started probably in Nigeria, probably in 2017, and has spread around Nigeria. So probably went from animals to people. And it's been spreading at a low level among people in Nigeria. And then just this spring, it started spreading among humans, again, mostly in Europe.
So how do people get it?
You can get it from living in the same family situation, but mostly you need very close contact to get it. So mostly what we're seeing now is that it's being sexually transmitted.
And if people get it, how sick do they get? What kind of symptoms do they have? What's the impact?
So they get only mildly ill. There are very few hospitalizations and deaths from monkeypox, but the disease is pretty gross looking, and we really don't want it spreading around. So it starts off with a fever and then proceeds to a rash. The rash is a blistery, pimply kind of rash. And then it goes away, and it goes away without scarring. So overall, it's not super serious in terms of hospitalizations, but it really is a disease which has not been in the U.S. and a disease which we would like not to spread now in the U.S.
And anything else people ought to know about monkeypox? What about the treatment for it?
So there are both vaccines to help prevent it. There are vaccines that you can take after you've been exposed to prevent you from getting it. And then there are antiviral medicines you can take. But again, far and away better to go ahead and keep it out.
Now let's talk about fentanyl-driven overdoses. The Oregon Health Authority put out a lengthy release about this the other day. And said that they are sharply increasing throughout Oregon, multiple fold. What's driving all this?
Well, fentanyl is really increasing. So fentanyl is a synthetic opioid. It's very, very potent, 50 to 100 times more potent than heroin. And there are variants of the fentanyl which are even more potent than that. So incredibly potent. And it can be given intravenously or orally. And our big concern is fentanyl being mixed with other pills, so being mixed with benzos, being mixed with Percodin and things like that. So people buy these pills. They look just like the pills you'd get at the pharmacy, and they take them, and they're very, very potent.
Now, the release said that this is actually now a leading cause of death, which seems a bit alarming.
It is. So during the pandemic, many other causes of death decreased, but overdoses, especially due to fentanyl, really increased.
And do the people taking fentanyl know how dangerous it is, or do they often not even know they're taking it?
Well, some people know how dangerous it is. but many people we think are taking it inadvertently. So it gets mixed with another pill, and someone says, hey, you're having trouble sleeping, take one of these. And it looks like a regular Xanax or something like that, and it's laced with fentanyl. And for people who have not used the drug in the past, it can be extraordinarily dangerous.
Now, what do you do if you're exposed to it? I know there's a treatment called naloxone, if I'm saying that right. Explain what that is and how it helps.
So naloxone is an opioid blocker. It's also called Narcan. And if somebody gets an overdose, either accidentally or as a result of using the drug for recreational purposes, they'll stop breathing. And that's basically how people die from this. And what Narcan or naloxone does is it reverses the action of this, and the people work up incredibly quickly. There are only a few things in medicine that are truly amazing, and one of those is the rapid effect of Narcan.
Talk about some of the warnings from the Oregon Health Authority regarding these fentanyl overdoses.
All right, so here's some of the warnings. One is, don't take a pill that you don't know its provenance. You know, if it comes from the pharmacy to you, it's safe. But it comes over the internet, if it comes from a friend, if it comes from somebody says, hey, try these, don't use those pills. Because they could be laced with fentanyl and they could be very dangerous. The second is, we're really recommending that people have Narcan available. There are many places you can get it around town. You can get it at a pharmacy. You can get it through HIV Alliance, and have Narcan around to be able to resuscitate somebody who needs it. So, for example, law enforcement in Douglas County has had fentanyl for a couple of years now, and they use it on a very regular basis for people who overdose. And while some people think, well, you know, if you overdose, you deserve it. But for the most part, many of these people who are overdosing are either taking it unknowingly or they're in the midst of an opioid addiction. And really the right thing to do is to save them and then get them into treatment.
Any idea why this has risen so dramatically?
Well, it's because fentanyl is now very easy and very cheap to make. So, you know, for years we had a heroin problem. But to make heroin, and most of it came from Mexico, was a big, long process. You had to grow the poppies, harvest the poppies, make the yield out of it. And then it made this smelly product that was fairly bulky. So to move it around required a lot, and you couldn't really hide it or mix it in other things. Fentanyl is made in a lab, and I just see that in Mexico they seized a half ton of fentanyl. There are 20,000 lethal doses per ounce. So you can imagine with 1,000 pounds of this, how many lethal doses of fentanyl there were. And it's relatively easy to make it because it's so concentrated. In one or two pills, you can have a lethal dose, and you can send it via U.S. mail. It doesn't smell, and so it's so much better product, if you were a drug dealer, than was heroin. And because it's cheaper and easier to move around, it's really taken over.
Did you say 20,000 doses in an ounce?
Yes.
Wow. So that definitely is concentrated. What else should we know about fentanyl?
So fentanyl is a white, odorless powder. And, you know, it's been used in medicine for years. It's an incredibly effective narcotic. So very fast acting. So when we would see people in surgery, you could give it to them and immediately relieve pain. So really very useful drug, but also very dangerous when it's on the street. Now, Douglas County has not seen the increase in overdoses and overdose deaths that other counties have seen. But when we see it in neighboring counties, we think it's going to be here soon.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us. More when we come back. I'll look at a number of health topics on today's Inside Douglas County, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson at 1. Peter Greenberg, Eye on Travel at 4 o'clock, and still putting together some of our Inside Douglas County programs for the remainder of the week. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer on with us today. We're covering a number of different health topics, and one we've talked about a lot the last couple of years, COVID-19. It seems like the number of cases in the county are going up and down a lot. It seems like a big seesaw in the numbers.
We really are seeing that. So day by day, we have variations. Some are due to reporting, but some are due to just the natural fluctuation in disease. We've generally averaged about 20 to 30 cases a day, and this has been going on now for a month.
And what about the current data? How are things looking in the past few days?
Well, we're seeing a lot of cases. We had 50 cases this morning. And what we saw today is an increase in hospitalizations. And what has been worrisome is the increase in the severity of people being hospitalized. So 2 weeks ago, we had about a dozen people in the hospital. Only two were on oxygen. Today, we have 9 on oxygen and 2 in intensive care units. So we are starting to see a little bit of increased severity as well as an increased number.
And are we seeing a broad range of ages, or is it concentrated in a particular group?
Well, most of the hospitalizations are in the older people, and overwhelmingly they're in people who are either not vaccinated or vaccinated, but then not updated on their vaccine. So again, it still seems that the vaccine provides tremendous protection against severe disease and death. But we have a couple of people in the hospital now really quite ill. So we are worried about the severity. So it's still not too late to get your vaccine. And if you had your vaccine back in 2021, to get updated now.
And are we seeing this related to any particular settings, or is it just a variety of places where this is coming from?
It's pretty much everywhere. There's not any one particular place that we see this. We do see that it does spread in families. We do see that it does spread in classrooms and in workplaces.
What about statewide? How are the numbers looking?
Well, the numbers statewide are about even, but hospitalizations are climbing, and the number in the ICU and the number on ventilators is slowly climbing. So we're not in a quiet time now, but I think fairly steady. But when we look over in Europe, they're having real spikes, and we know that what happens in Europe usually comes to us in the next 4 to 6 weeks.
And if I recall from last week, the Oregon Health Authority was forecasting the numbers statewide to go up for another week or so, and then maybe head back down for a while.
That's what they predicted, and usually their predictions have been pretty close. Although I think on this one, it's a little hard to know what the end of the spike is going to be, because in this BA5, which is really causing much of the disease, in many places, they're still not yet at the peak.
What about nationally? How are things looking?
Well, nationally, about stable in the amount of disease. There's no particular hotspots, but we are starting to see a little increase in hospitalizations and a little bit of increase in ICU usage. Now, that's not surprising. People are traveling a lot more and crowding into places and bars and restaurants. So not shocking that we would see a little bit more cases, but it is a little worrisome that we're seeing an increase in the hospitalizations.
Younger children can now be vaccinated, but are many doing so?
Yes. So we're actually had pretty good uptake of the vaccine for the kids 6 months to 4 years. We don't have the final numbers in yet, but when we look at the next group up, those 5 to 11, we continue to have new people being vaccinated in that group.
And I saw something, I think, over the weekend about the potential for a fall dose for COVID. What can you tell us about that?
So the FDA has suggested that that by this fall, we should have a booster that contains not only the ancestral or the original form of the disease, but also the new Omicron strain, which should give us much better protection over the winter. The news on that is these things don't get developed overnight. So it would be great if we had it by this fall. But I've always been a little bit hesitant when people give these very optimistic timelines.
Now, the question seems to be for some people, if they haven't already gotten a second booster, if they do that now or if they wait for fall.
Well, we think if you got a booster now, you could get another booster in the fall. So there's no reason to delay your booster now. I got my second booster. My wife got hers because it does certainly provide a little additional protection. But again, the most protection comes from the first, second, and third doses. The second booster adds a little bit of protection, but really most protection is in that first and second dose. And sadly, we still have a fair number of people in our county. I looked this morning, about 14,000 people in our county who are eligible for vaccine and have not received even a single dose.
Let's talk about some other health concerns, particularly related to summertime. And we've been hearing some announcements recently about sunburn and the potential impacts of that.
Right. So we're getting to nice, beautiful summer weather. The UV ray index is very, very high in Douglas County this week, which is a good thing, but it does make people prone to sunburn. So sunlight contains both infrared and visible light as well as ultraviolet. And it's really the ultraviolet light which burns the skin.
And I was looking in the store, I think while I was out in Colorado, actually, because you're at a lot higher elevation there. You've got all these different ratings for sunscreen. Is there a potential, or I mean, is there a one that's the best to use?
So you want a sunscreen that has a high protection factor. And so the protection factor means the multiple of time you could spend in the sun as compared to no sunscreen at all. So a sunscreen with a protective factor of 10 means that you would get burned the same amount as 10 times without sunscreen. So you want with a high protective factor. I think once you get above 50, it doesn't really make a big difference. But you want one that's 35 to 50 at least. But really, I think the most important thing that people miss is being out of the direct sun during the time when the UV rays are the highest. And that in Douglas County is going to be between 11 and 3. So, for example, we see our very worst sunburns during the Pepsi float. Right? People are out there usually from 10 until 3 or so, just getting totally fried. So if you do need to be out during those times, please use a very high protective factor. And if you go in the water and get splashed off, put it on again. So you might need as much as a whole tube if you and a friend are going to be going down the river.
And of course, sometimes people in Western Oregon like to get out, whether it's on the river or out hiking, bicycling, things like that. And some people, don't put any sunscreen on. Some people put it on every day. Should you even avoid trying to get suntan at all?
Well, so what suntan is a melanin reaction in the skin. So after the skin gets exposed to ultraviolet light, what happens is the sun produces a pigment called melanin, which gives the tanning. Sunlight is good for you. I mean, sunlight helps to produce some vitamin D, and there's not a harm in mild amounts of light. But as we get more and more UV light exposure, the risk of cancers, especially melanoma for people exposed in youth, and basal cell and squamous cell carcinomas for those of us who are older. So lots of ultraviolet light can indeed be cancer-causing. So we're really encouraging people to protect their skin.
And around the Umpqua Valley with the river, multiple rivers, lakes, things like that, people get out and enjoy the water in the summer, but there's always the potential for harm there. What should parents know? What should adults know if they're going to go out and play in the water?
Well, the water is great, but the water this year is very, very cold. And so, although it may be hot in the air, when people go in the water and it's 65 degrees as it was last week, you cool down so very quickly, and your ability to swim and think clearly really, really diminishes. So we are really encouraging people who are going to be using the river to wear life jackets and to be very cautious about the cold water.
About a minute left with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. I wanted to back up in the newscast earlier. They talked about apparently a fairly brand new COVID-19 variant. What can you tell us there?
Well, the new variant that's got interest this week is the BA.2.75, and that's a variant which has some spreading characteristics, which are really quite worrisome. These are all part of the Omicron grouping there. And with so much disease around the world, these are mutating. And when they mutate, most of the mutations are nonsense and they go away. But some of the mutations are a little bit stronger than their parents, and they do spread quickly. So we're going to watch BA.2.75 very carefully. There's not any of it yet in Oregon, but this is something we'll watch carefully over the upcoming weeks.
What kinds of things are staff of the Douglas Public Health Network involved in during the summer?
Well, during the summer, we're working on many of the things you talked about. We're working on fentanyl. We're working on accident prevention. We're working on smoke, and we'll maybe talk about that sometime in the future. And then we're also continuing to work with COVID.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on.
Well, thank you for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.